Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Federer, who's really one of the finest storytellers we have. He's written a number of books that we carry here on everything from St. Patrick to St. Nicholas to America's God and freedom, and certainly so many things having to do with patriotic themes and understanding the history of the United States, understanding the history of Islam, and, well, we're going to be talking this evening about the Battle of Trenton. Now, to a lot of you, you may not even know what the Battle of Trenton was, but it was a turning point in the Revolutionary War for America. And one of the big problems for today is that they really don't teach as much about American history, because you see the people who are putting together our educational systems hate America. They hate everything we stand for, and we have a great and noble tradition, because their real goal is to destroy America, to merge us into this one world government with a one world financial system and a one world currency and a one world religion, and installing a new world leader. This is what it's really all about. And there's a small group of people, there are not that many of them, they work through organizations like the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, and I was just going over the Group of 30 today. You'd be interested to know that the personal financial advisor to the president is the chairman of the board of the Group of 30, that certainly Lawrence Summers is on the Group of 30, and he comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and Timothy Geithner, Geithner, the new Undersecretary of the Treasury. Timothy is a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, a very, very small group of people who have a different worldview, are really running our country. And if you think that certainly that we're going to get change with a new administration, why, you haven't looked at the background of the people who will be surrounding the president. Why, so many of them come from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and, of course, the Group of 30. So we're going to have to find out where William Federer is, and we have a couple of telephone numbers there for him. I wonder if they've called both telephone numbers, and certainly he should be at one of those two answers. So we'll just go ahead and three telephone numbers, and he's not at any of them. Well, I'll ask my producer to go ahead and call again, and if he doesn't, why, it'll have to be open lines this evening. But I'm sure that William is sitting back there waiting to hear from us. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if we can't get hold of William Federer. So if you have a question out there, remember our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And, well, anyway, we do have a proud heritage here. And, of course, I wish it were being taught. I wish the Constitution was taught. I wish that the people in Washington, D.C. would abide by the oaths that they've taken to support the Constitution of the United States and to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, because the big problem is that the people in Washington, D.C., so many of them, are enemies of our Constitution. They're the domestic enemies that are doing everything they can. They swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, and then they pass all sorts of legislation and give away programs and centralize ever more power in Washington, D.C., in total violation of the Constitution they've sworn to uphold. Well, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're talking about the U.S. Constitution and tragedy is that great tragedy is that the vast majority of the legislation that is enacted in Washington, D.C. is unconstitutional. Medicare is unconstitutional. No Child Left Behind policy is unconstitutional. Certainly the Medicare drug bill is unconstitutional. Social Security is unconstitutional. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the elderly, but it's not constitutional. It's against the tenets of the Constitution, because all power is not specifically given to Congress to the United States by the Constitution, or reserved to it by the states, are to be reserved to the states and the people. There's only a very, very few things that the federal government can do, and the rest of those things they are not to be allowed to do. And suddenly giving $700 billion to Hank Paulson to utilize to rescue the people who are losing their homes, it was an unconstitutional thing to do. And then, of course, Henry Paulson changed his mind and didn't use it to help the homeowners. He used it to help his friends on Wall Street. And, you know, the most interesting thing about that legislation, if you've ever read it, is that it specifically protected Henry Paulson so he could do whatever he wanted to. There could be no judicial review. There could be no congressional review of what he had done. There could be no criticism. He could not be held responsible. They simply gave one man $700 billion. Do you know how much money that is? That's almost $750 billion. And remember that it took the United States government 200 years to raise, a debt of $1 trillion. 200 years to raise a debt of $1 trillion. We're going to have a debt this coming year of $2 trillion just in 1 year. Of course, this is what happens at the end cycle of just before we go into runaway inflation. The great tragedy is they are planning, they are intentionally going to have inflation and destroy the value of the dollar. This is what it's really all about. You cannot turn out, as they have, approximately somewhere between $8.5 and $9 trillion in a period of just a very, very few months, really over this last year, and most of it's been the latter part of the year. They've even put out $2 trillion. They won't tell members of Congress where the money went. They've just put it out. And when asked, where did the money go? And Bloomberg has actually, under the Freedom of Information Act, where did that $2 trillion go? That has nothing to do with the $700 billion they gave away. Why, the Fed and the U.S. Treasury said, we can't tell you where the money went because that's a trade secret. We'll be back in a moment. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess we're going to have to do open lines for the time being. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call, and we'd love to have you on and hear what you think about what's going on. But, of course, the interesting thing about, of course, the TARP legislation. TARP means Troubled Assets Relief Program. TARP, Troubled Asset Relief Program, is it was written by Barney Frank, who just happens to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and was a good friend of Henry Paulson's. He wrote the legislation that let Henry Paulson get off scot-free, no matter what he did with the money. And when asked, why didn't you again give him $700 billion to try to stop the cascade of house foreclosures, why didn't you stipulate that he was going to have to spend it for house foreclosures? And Barney Frank's reply, when Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes asked him that question, was, well, you can't make people do things. And that's, of course, what legislation is all about. Barney Frank and the people there in the House of Representatives pass legislation all the time to tell people what they can do and what they can't do. But they can give $700 billion to Barney Frank's buddy, Henry Paulson. They both belong to the Council on Foreign Relations. And you can say, well, we can't make people do things, so I just gave him the money anyway. And then when Henry Paulson got the money, he gave it to the banks. Now, we suppose that they gave it to the banks so that they would actually lend it out to corporations and to people who needed money, because at least according to Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke, the financial centers, the financial structure of our banking system, system had frozen up. Wasn't true, but that's what they told us, and they told it over and over again so many times that many people came to believe it. But of course, then when they gave the money to the banks to spend and lend into the market, they didn't stipulate it was to be lent. And so what did they do with the money? Why, of course, they used the money primarily to pay large bonuses. They don't call them bonuses anymore. They call it cash awards to the executives, and then to pay dividends to the stock owners. And then, well, we know that Bank of America went ahead and put $5 billion of the $15 billion they received into a bank in China. And Citigroup actually put $10 billion of the $45 billion they received into a troubled toll roads over in Spain. But how is that going to help the American economy? And it's not. And what happened to the rest of the initial $125 billion that Hank Paulson gave to his friends on Wall Street? Well, the banks won't tell anybody what they did. They said, we don't keep any records of what we do with all that money. I mean, $125 billion, but we don't keep any record of it. So we can't tell you what we did with the money. But let me, ladies and gentlemen, this whole thing is a scam that always has been. And certainly, there were many, many government officials who knew what was going to happen because of the housing situation. They called it predatory loaning. And of course, they were loaning money to homeowners. They had somebody, and I think Thomas Friedman explained it best. It was called. He says that this is the greatest Ponzi scheme of all time. What you do is you have a man who's making $14,000 a year. So you give him an adjustable rate mortgage where very low initial payments, and you sell him a $750,000 loan that is going to balloon in 3 to 5 years, and he's not going to be able to pay for it. But you take that mortgage loan, and then, of course, you go ahead and you bundle that up with a number of other similar loans, and you get Standard & Poor's or Moody to rate it AAA, and then you sell them a derivative, an insurance policy, so that that loan is guaranteed, but there's no money to back the guarantee. It's an insurance policy without reserves. And then you sell it to banks throughout the world, and then you wonder why there's a problem. Well, anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go actually over there to Gail in Santa Cruz has a question. Hi, Gail. How are you doing?
Hey there, Dr. Stan. I'm thinking of another subject slightly.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I understand that, powers that are not enumerated to the federal government go to the state. But in campaigning for Ron Paul, people would feel like you were dropping them on the street, when you're talking about that you shouldn't have the federal government in health care. And,
all right, fine. I think that's an excellent point.
And plus, well, let me ask you a little bit more. The question is it, therefore, are you trying to develop the same thing at the local level?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it a good thing? Like, people might feel the need to develop county health care, they do have some things here. Is that also becoming a socialistic thing, or is that legitimate on a local level?
That is legitimate on a local level. The whole idea of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government, never to limit the power of the state or the local government, because we would be able to do something about state politics, but we would not be able to do anything about national politics.
Right.
And so when I went to medical practice, I graduated from medical school in 1952, and then, of course, I went off to and worked in a county hospital. And all across America, every county had a county hospital. And if you were poor and destitute, they would take you and you would get care at the hospital. If you could pay for it or pay part of it, fine. If you couldn't pay for it, you got the best care that we possibly could. And the better doctors always went and worked at the county hospital. And they had a system, they had wards, where they would put people who were old and infirmed in. But they were well cared for and they were clean and they were up in their wheelchairs and they didn't have to have all nurses. They had a lot of aides working there, and they could actually make this system work. They had a system, where we would have shelters where people could go if they didn't have any place to go. You had poor farms, and people could go there and have a bed and get three meals a day. we took care of these things at the local level. You didn't give people television, you know, and private rooms, because you wanted to get them out and work if they would. Mm-hmm. But you never wanted to give the federal government the ability to take care of people. And why? Because people will always tend to vote for the people who promise them the most. And then, of course, our founding fathers realized that people would eventually vote themselves into a dictatorship, right, which is exactly what's going on today.
Exactly. Well, so in a way, you could nutshell it that socialism at the local level is okay because it's controllable.
That's right. And the other thing, this is not an entitlement. It used to start out, we had charity. And then it became known as welfare. And then it became known as an entitlement. You were entitled to it. In the local system, it is charity. You are not entitled to it, but we give it to you out of the goodness of people's hearts. But, of course, it's not something that you are entitled to. And once people become entitled to it, they'll take advantage of it. The whole idea was if you could get off the charity, you did. If you couldn't, fine, there were certainly always going to be poor among us. And this was the British tradition that was there in the 1600s. It came to America, and it worked very, very well. It worked very well at the time I graduated from medical school and would still be working. Mm-hmm. If it hadn't been for the people who wanted to establish a fascist society, remember, socialism and fascism are the same. Mm-hmm. They centralize power with a ruling elite. And the idea that socialism, you know, is a matter of redistribution of the wealth is a lie. It's a redistribution of your wealth, but not of the wealth of the wealthy, mm-hmm, because it is the wealthy usually or oftentimes who are pushing socialism, because, of course, when they centralize all power in Washington, D.C., they can buy and sell the politicians, and then, of course, the people of great wealth have established a new feudalistic society, and that is the plan.
Okay, so, so the question is rent control at a local level a bad thing? Or?
Yes, I think it is, but if the people want it, why, it is a constitutional thing, but why should the local government take away money from the landowner, or the property values from landowners, and to give it to other people? What if the local government wants to help the poor people, they should provide the money, not take away people's property rights and say, well, we think that we should take away your property rights. And basically, rent controls are a form of socialism, and I personally disagree with it. Mm-hmm. Although it is legal to do, mm-hmm, I still disagree with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should steal from one to give to another.
Right. Well, still, though, a county hospital would be supported by taxation. It wouldn't be.
That's right. It would be right.
Voluntary donation.
No, it would be involuntary. That people would be taxed for that. And I believe if you want to provide, you as a politician want to provide housing for people, then why? Of course, you should run on that proposition, and the people who are going to have to be paying the taxes should vote on it. Mm-hmm. But you see, when they have rent controls, what you're doing is take away the value from one person to give to another, and I think that's wrong. In other words, you're going to have taxation. It should be for everybody. Mm-hmm. An awful lot of people will vote for rent controls, but it's not their property rights or their income is going to be taken away.
I see.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. I always appreciate your show.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, let's go into to Kevin, who's calling us from somewhere there in Texas. New Brownsville, Texas. Is that right?
Good pronunciation, Dr. Stan. That's New Braunfels.
All right, fine.
Brownstones. Yes. I'm lucky enough to live in this nice little German town here south of Austin.
Good. Well, of course, Austin's a good conservative area. At least I know that a lot of conservatives live there.
Yes. Austin's actually, you know, Alex Jones is there, and a lot of aware people are there.
Right.
And, they talk about this stuff, and they got some good bookstores, and there's a lot of awareness going on there, at least.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I don't know what happened to our guest this evening, but, well, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines. And, Kevin, let's get back there in just a moment, and we'll talk about what you'd like to talk about. Okay, Kevin, what did you want to cover?
Yeah, Well, a couple of things. William Federer is a very interesting guy. He talked about the history of...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
8295. And so if you're out there and the listening audience would like to call in on something, why, give us a call. We'd love to have you. But until we get callers, I was going to simply point out the fact that there is a great deal of evidence that so much of what's going on today is simply a scam. And we had this afternoon with us Cliff Kincaid, who actually was going into the background of something called the Solent Report. Now, you have heard that the reason that we needed that, the $700 billion was going to be given to the banks was because the whole financial system wasn't working. The banks didn't have any money to loan. There are no loans going on. This is why we were having problems. And the truth of the matter was the Solet Group had actually gone through all the figures put out by the Fed and by the U.S. Treasury, which you and I can't, of course, do. We don't have the time. But this is what they do. They analyze figures and they prepare reports for very wealthy people. And what do they find out? That there was no problem at all as far as bank lending. They were lending more money during that time than ever before. I think they were being very selective in it, and they were trying to create this problem, and the banks were working in concert. But if you were one of the favored banks, or you were a favored institution, or you were a favored industry, you could get all the money you wanted. But, of course, they couldn't let the public know that. They had to make them believe that there was this terrible crisis. Well, our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Herman. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Doing well. Watching the news unfold in the Middle East again, and it brings to mind that the State of Israel was a creation of the United Nations, and someone, I don't forget who, said, it was designed to never work or never work without the intervention of the internationalists. And the current business with the missiles have been landing in Israel from Gaza for many, many months. And it's amazing to me, anywhere else in the world, if you had missiles, if Russia was firing missiles into Poland or Germany, or if Japan, if Korea was firing missiles into Japan or some other country, or Mexico was firing missiles here and hitting people periodically, I mean, basically that would be grounds to go to war. And the rest of the world seems to ignore that. And then, of course, when Israel responds, then it's like, oh, my gosh, we need to, people are being killed, folks. We need to have a ceasefire. So it just seems like this, we are being marched inexorably towards a great conflagration. And you talked about the insiders saying they need three world wars before the world will be ready for a one world government. Well, we've had two world wars, and we may be in the beginnings of the third. So I'll take your comments.
All right, well, I certainly agree with you. The question is, will this ignite a larger war? Or will this be limited? I think this war will be limited. I'm much more concerned about what's going on between Pakistan and India, because, of course, it is my contention. I believe we can document it very well. The United States State Department has been transferring nuclear technology and the wherewithal to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan for some time. And, of course, that's totally contrary to everything the American people have been told. But that, of course, is a Sybil Edmonds story. If anybody wants to document it, it's up on my website at radioliberty.com. It's the January 2008 newsletter. But why in heaven's name would the American State Department and the FBI and the powers that be interested in building up Pakistan's nuclear technology so they can distribute it to the other Islamic nations? Well, I really believe that this, of course, is the foreshadows the coming war, perhaps with India, perhaps with Israel. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I do know that we have been transferring nuclear technology over there. Sybil Edmonds found this out when she worked for the FBI, tried to get the information out. She was blocked at every turn. She appealed to the Justice Department. They wouldn't let her get the information out, saying it was violate national security. She went to a federal court. They agreed. She went to a federal appeals court. They agreed. She went to the Supreme Court, and they refused to hear the case, saying it was all about national security. Why would providing technology for nuclear weapons to Pakistan, you know, concealing that information be in the national security? Well, very simply, they do not want the American people to learn that we are preparing for World War III. So I share your concern, Herman. I believe it's probably a lot closer than we think. Anyway, we're just going to have to wait and see. And we're living in exciting times. It's a wonderful time to know the Lord, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Hang on there for just a minute. And our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest we have right now, we have Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. Now, do you have something else you'd like to talk about?
Well, just one other thing. I'd like to remind all of our listeners, some may not be aware of the great newsletter that Radio Liberty puts out every month that you put together, Doctor, and it's just awesome. And so I encourage folks, I think it's by subscription, is it not, or can they get it on the website?
Well, we'll be glad. Yeah, they can pull it down off the Internet. We already have it posted up there a couple of weeks after we get it here. But anybody who would like to subscribe, it's not that expensive. But our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy, we'd be glad to send you one. 1-800-544-8927. If you already take the newsletter, and of course you'd like to get a copy by email, that would save us because things are getting really prohibitively expensive to ship them, and then of course they're going to be raising the postal rates. I remember when, you know, a stamp was 3 cents. I mean, that's all a stamp was. And now it's 42 cents, and they're telling us that here in another month or two or three, they're going to raise it up from 42 probably to 44 or 45 cents. And people say there's no inflation, that it's sure good we got the Federal Reserve System so that they maintain the stability of our currency. So anyway, of course, we can send it out to you by email, but if you're not getting it by at the present time, you can pull it down our website, or we hope many of you want to subscribe. Again, the number to call, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. I appreciate your kind remarks, Herman. I agonize over every one of those newsletters, but eventually they come together, and certainly I think that November newsletter will help people understand what's going on, and I think that December newsletter is really going to be a bomb buster.
Great. Well, thank you very much, and we'll keep listening.
All right. God bless, and thanks so very much, Herman.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and again, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll be back here in just a moment, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and there's open lines this evening, so if you're out there anywhere in the country and you're listening to us and you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. But what were you witnessing as far as the financial situation is concerned? Apparently the sales in our department stores were down somewhere between 5% and 8% here over the holiday season, which means that an awful lot of these stores are eventually going to have to close down because they depend upon the Christmas sales to keep them going during a much part of the year. And a lot of these companies have a large amount of money behind them. They're really having to borrow money from to stay in business. They borrow money, they get income, they pay it back. Well, let's go to Dean, who's calling us from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, Dean, how are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Your words at the beginning of the program made me feel a little bit like Archimedes. So where can you find an honest congressman?
Well, I think you have a Ron Paul, and I think you've probably got a small cadre back there with him. We don't know their names necessarily. But there are people back there who do believe in the Constitution. They've been there fighting a long, lonely battle. So we have them. What we need to do is get rid of most of the congressmen, whether they be Democrat or Republican, those who do not vote for the Constitution, those who vote for what's expedient. And I think everybody who voted in favor of giving Henry Paulson $700 billion ought to be retired.
Yes, sir. Those are draconian powers. And when you talked about domestic enemies, I think to myself it's a sickening truth that 99% of them don't even read what they're voting on. Right. And I know George Nethercutt for one, and I hasten to add, I'm sure he's a nice, charming fellow, at least in the eyes of the world, but George Nethercutt is on record as saying his duties as a 21st century congressman just didn't allow him time to read the legislation. And he kept saying, oh, I know the gist of it, he told the interviewer, and it just disgusted me because the interviewer was making excuses for him and saying, well, no, you don't have time as a congressman to read that. That is his duty. That is his absolute solemn duty.
Well, I think that if he doesn't read it, he ought to have somebody on his staff read it who believes in the Constitution. And that has to be the decision, not whether it's a good idea. I mean, there are a lot of good ideas out there. But if it's unconstitutional, and you've sworn to uphold the Constitution, you should not vote for it. And so you really don't have to really worry too much about what it says. Is this whole concept constitutional? Now, if it's unconstitutional, you vote against it. That's why they call Ron Paul Dr. No, because many times it'll be 433 one way and one on the other. I think there what is it, 435 congressmen. Anyway, he'll be the one congressman who consistently vote no. But this is the determinant factor. So, you know, there's a lot of detail in a lot of these things, but if it's unconstitutional, it doesn't matter what it says, you vote against it. If it is constitutional, you vote for it. And that makes it a lot easier. And if the congressman would simply do that, well, we'd have a lot better country. Because the purpose of the Constitution was to limit what the federal government did. That's the only way we can be free.
You know, Dr. Stan, in the time of the Antiochus Epiphanes administration, he made Bible reading a capital crime. And I would just say rhetorically, how do you know, George Nethercutt, that something like that isn't buried in that bloat, in that massive bloat? They should oppose that even on principle, even if there's a lot of stuff in there that's good for their own particular district. I fear that if we can't get a critical mass electorate, I don't know, it's going to take a 500,000 or 10 million, I don't know, that would support a candidate like Dr. No, who has the backbone to shoot down the legislation simply on the principle that there's not enough time to see that there isn't some hideous thing hiding in there. Until that happens, it's a totally hopeless situation.
Well, Chris, what we should do, of course, is to limit the length of this legislation. I think we should have a bill that says that no legislation will be more than 10 pages long. It will not deal with any more than one subject, and you can't tack anything onto a piece of legislation to get it through. And, of course, what they will very often do is they'll take a very unpopular idea and they'll put it on, say, the military appropriations bill. Now, like maybe it'd be the bill to nowhere, the bridge to nowhere, like Ted Stevens was trying to get up in the state of Alaska, you know. And so he'd amend that onto another piece of legislation. Well, who's going to vote against military appropriation? What that is totally wrong. Legislation should be short, concise. If they can write the Constitution, you know, on one large piece of paper, there's no reason why they can't pass legislation that is very short and to the point. They make it long and wordy so they can sneak in all sorts of terrible things. And, of course, the congressman, as you are absolutely right, don't read it. I remember Senator Bill Richardson. He was a state senator here, and he wrote a book one time. It was called, "You Don't Really Think We Read Those Bills, Do You?" And, of course, it was a very humorous book, but then Bill Richardson had a wonderful way of putting ideas over through humor, and that's the problem. In fact, eventually, after, I think, serving in the state senate for about 16 years, he just gave up and retired and formed the Gun Owners of America, great organization, doing a great job. But the truth of the matter is that we cannot trust our legislators. We've got to get them to get back to the Constitution, and that's the only thing that will save us. But even more than that, people have to understand that there's a spiritual battle going on. And if America doesn't turn back to God, they're not going to save this nation. I'm firmly convinced of that.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, perhaps what they could do is just simply say that the sponsors of the bill must read the bill, orate it. They must read every word aloud. No bathroom breaks or sleep breaks or food breaks allowed. And that might make them a little more concise.
Well, the chances of it happening are pretty slim because we've got so many corrupt people in there. And they're not going to change the legislation. They like it the way that it is. They like being congressmen. They like being the honorable so-and-so. They like getting their salaries. They like all the perks. They like the prestige. They like the retirement benefits. And, of course, we need people to go back there, not because they want something for themselves, but because they want to be public servants and because they believe in the Constitution and they fear God. And that's what we need, people who fear God, believe in the Constitution, and will do what's right for the people.
Amen. People that are self-sacrificing and have the shepherd's heart. So I'm going to say goodbye then.
God bless, and thanks so much for calling, team. That was Dean in Post Falls, Idaho, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we have no idea what happened to our guest this evening. But again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, if you have a question or comment. But we began this evening simply talking about what's happening financially. And I was commenting last time we had a chance that we find that this has been a very disappointing Christmas season for the retailers because, of course, many of the stores really are not doing well, and you're going to see more and more stores closing down, and with that, of course, more and more people being out of work. And then, of course, the stores closing, and then the malls, of course. And remember, of course, the malls, most of them are built simply on borrowed money. And they have to get a certain amount of money and income every month so that they can actually make their payments on the buildings in the mall. And, of course, when they can't do that, why they lose, they get foreclosed on. And what you are already witnessing is a great transfer of wealth. In fact, at the present time, we're in the process of the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred, probably going back to the time of the Battle of Waterloo, when I don't know how many of you know the story of what happened, but of course, England was very much afraid that if Napoleon was successful at the Battle of Waterloo, he would amass a navy and attack England. He already, of course, controlled most of Europe. And, of course, so there is a great deal of uncertainty in the stock markets in London, which, of course, is the leading stock market in Europe. And then, of course, the Rothschilds had couriers, whether they were courier pigeons, but whatever it was, they could actually get information very, very quickly. And everybody knew the Rothschilds would know what happened at the Battle of Waterloo. So, of course, everybody's sitting there, they're very uneasy, they know the battle's been raging, and they know that it's about time somebody's going to know what happened to the battle. Somebody rushes in to the stock exchange, the London Stock Exchange, and whispers into Lord Rothschild's ear, and he puts out an order to sell. Sell everything. And that's exactly what happened. They started to sell, and they started selling frantically. When other people saw the Rothschilds were selling, they began to sell frantically as well, figuring that the Duke of Wellington had lost the battle, Napoleon had been victorious, and, of course, this would mean ultimately that England would face the possibility of either having to make a terrible peace with Napoleon or being invaded. And then, of course, as everybody was selling frantically, the Rothschilds quietly sent their representative out to start buying. Because remember, whenever somebody sells a share of stock, somebody buys a share of stock. And it said at the end of the day, the Rothschilds own most of the stock on the London Stock Exchange. One of the greatest transfers of wealth, and probably the next one would be the one that's going on today. In fact, this is even greater because, of course, now this is a worldwide transfer of wealth from weak hands, which is you and me, into strong hands, which is the financial elite that rules our country, that tied into the great banks and of course, to the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan Chase Company and Stanley Morgan and Morgan Stanley and, of course, to Goldman Sachs and to Citigroup, which is another Rockefeller bank, they said they're, and I'm sure they must have a few contemporaries over in Europe as well. Well, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Pittsburgh, California. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Yourself?
No complaints at all. Doesn't do any good to complain. Somebody else always got a worse story. Let's go right ahead.
Well, what I found out is if you do complain, nobody wants to hear it.
Right.
You were saying that one of your biggest concerns was Pakistan and India.
Right, at the present time. I mean, I just would hate to think of a war between those two countries, because it could expand into a nuclear war. And because we have obviously been setting this whole thing up, we control the Pakistani ISI, which was behind the attack on the hotel there, the Taj Mahal Motel there in what used to be Bombay. But even more than that, I'm sure the CIA interlocks with the Indian Secret Service, because, of course, they knew the attack was coming. And what did they do knowing an attack was coming and the suicide bombers were coming in? They pulled all the guards off of the Mumbai Hotel. Reminds me of 9-1-1 when they knew the attack was coming, and they changed the rules shortly before the attack in September of 2001, so that no longer could any pilot have a gun on board a plane. Why would you do something like that? Unless, of course, you wanted to leave those, leave the planes vulnerable, and, of course, they changed the rules to make it much easier to get weapons onto planes. Why would you do something like that when you know an attack's coming? Or why would they pull the guards off of the Taj Mahal Hotel there in Mumbai before the attack was coming? I think we're setting this whole thing up for a war.
Well, you know, exactly what I was thinking. What a wonderful way to get rid of millions of people.
Right, absolutely. And war is a very good means of population control. And there really are people out there who have no human compassion, who relish the thought of suffering and horror.
Yeah. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, that they're trying to kill us right here in our own country.
Right.
That's what their business is killing people.
But till people can understand, there really are people who would do that, and until you've really stood there in the shadow of the great monument there in Elberton, Georgia, the Georgia Guidestones, or read the publications. And if you haven't read my little pamphlet on the Population Control Agenda Monograph, it's one of the best things we have. It's posted up on our website. You can read it free. But the information there is all true. And then, of course, we have that great DVD by Alex Jones called Endgame. And then, of course, we've got, I think, three different talks on population control. And there's no question these people know exactly what they're doing.
Right. Well, when you said that, that's what first thing that came to my mind is the war that they're trying to start is just to kill people. India is hugely populated.
You're absolutely right. It's got over a billion people.
Right.
And of course, between India and China, you've got almost, not quite, but almost half the population of the world, at least a third of the population of the world in those two countries. And it would be a great way to kill off a lot of them.
And I think that's what they're trying to do in this country. They're trying to stir this country up and divide it to get each other to fight each other, and then we'll kill each other off, and then whatever's left, they'll come and clean up.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you take the Wall Street Journal, or if you don't get a copy of today's, they have an article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal talking about, quoting a Russian former member of the KGB who says we're going to have a civil war in America either next year, the year after that, the whole economy is going to collapse. There's going to be a civil war. We're going to be divided up, I think, into six regions. It's not that maybe the Russian has said this, but why would the Wall Street Journal, which is an arm of this establishment we talk about, why would they put that out, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal unless they're trying to implant that idea in the minds of the American people?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Amen to that. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome, Doctor.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, Dr. Stan, I'm doing pretty good. And I do want to wish you and Barb and all your loved ones a really good holiday.
And I really appreciate that, Mark. And we wish that for you and your family as well.
Thanks, sir. And even more so, and more substantially, you know, I want to wish you a good new year, although we've got some really inauspicious conditions going into this particular year that we're going into now. I've,
I think, Mark, we have the greatest opportunity we have ever had to get people to listen, to realize there's a problem. Hopefully they're going to begin looking for answers, and we've got to be there to give them the answer from a secular point of view, and then from a Christian point of view, and then from a spiritual point of view. And hopefully we can utilize this opportunity to reach an awful lot of people. Maybe we could even have a great revival in America. That's my
hope. I agree with you 100%. It'll be one of two reactions I can see so far, and that would be people will be in general totally distracted about the disorder and the disintegration which is going on around them on various levels.
But
I think they already are, but that may serve to actually steer people around to a state of mind where they'll be more receptive to an actual Christian witness.
I think you're absolutely right. And I know I did a program on Saturday up in Clear Lake on somebody else's program, and the host was an atheist. But he was listening to what I had to say.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't convert him, but I raised questions in his mind, and I hope I planted a seed that one day will begin to germinate.
Absolutely.
Anyway, anything else you want to say?
Yeah.
Hold that thought just a moment. We'll be right back here with Mark from Florence, Oregon. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, just one quick comment about the terminology that you have used a little bit tonight about transfer of wealth, Dr. Stan. You know, I think ever...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866.
Call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope, of course, that many of you will want to get some of our material if you're interested in the finances. Of course, my little pamphlets on the history of money and on the financial meltdown, inexpensive. But then, of course, we also have the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Fiat Money Inflation in France, and my talk on the financial tsunami, and the syllabus goes with that. The talk was given a couple of months ago, but nothing has changed. Everything is going right according to Hoyle. And then, of course, I suggest my November 2008 newsletter, last month's newsletter, and it is posted on the Internet, or if you don't have access, you'd like a copy, or get some of the other items, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand the spiritual battle going on, let me suggest several of our best DVDs. One of them is called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. And then the sequel to that, Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. I was just reading this evening an article by a man who belongs to Aleister Crowley's organization, the Ordo Temporalis, and of course, basically, he says everything that you'll find in those things. But he's coming from the other side. He thinks what has happened is good. The occult influence on our nation's capital. And he will tell you that all of these things are right there. They're out in the open. They're hidden in plain sight is the word he uses. And they do. They hide their symbols and their emblems in plain sight. And that's why those two DVDs, especially the second one, Riddles in Stone, you'll actually see them in vivid technicolor on that DVD. And then, of course, to see how this fits into what's happening politically, we suggest the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Now, this certainly deals with what's going on in the music industry. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. But the same thing has happened within our political establishment. And then, of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret. And if you can't afford it, you can go up on the Internet. Somebody's put it up there on YouTube, and with my blessing, they didn't ask me if they could do it, but I don't object to it because I want you to get to see it. If you can't get the DVD, why, of course, you can watch it on the Internet. I think they have it in 5 or 6 parts, but it's well worthwhile watching. It's called The Forbidden Secret. Just Google it in, and then you may want to get the syllabus that goes with that so you can document what we're talking about. You need to get the talk on the planned police state. They are planning a police state. Everything is in place. And when this comes about, why, we will be under martial law. And this is exactly what they want. Because there are people who don't believe in our Constitution. They want change. And that's why they erected Barack Obama. And he is, of course, has the backing of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world today, and that's why you'll certainly want to get my December newsletter. We simply have listed his major appointees and their background. And you'd be amazed at how many of them belong to the Trilateral Commission, how many of them belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Bilderbergers, or the Group of 30, and maybe you don't even know what the Group of 30 is, but at least six of them come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. And we're putting together a new syllabus. It's called The Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it'll give you the membership list of the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Group of 30 and the Trilateral Commission. We'll have it ready probably within a week. We want you to get the information. We want you to show it to others. We want to let them to know that most of what they think they know just is not true. Because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the time being, there are going to be the views of Arthur Burnclough of Veterans for Constitutional Law. We're going to be talking about the plight of the veteran, the young man who goes off to Afghanistan or Iraq to fight for freedom and comes home wounded or comes home disabled and goes to the Veterans Administration and tries to get help. And, of course, he is shunted away. He's put on a list. They'll get around to him one of these days. Delay. Finally gets a hearing. And of course, they falsify the information. Why? Because they actually give bonuses to the Veterans Administration employees who can actually turn down veterans' requests for legitimate health care or legitimate benefits. And this is really so unconscionable. But where is the outcry from the American people? Oh, we're going to have military bands, and we're going to have parades, and we're going to have all these things for our veterans. But the truth of the matter is the politicians who sent our boys off to war don't really care whether they live or die. In fact, it's much easier if they die. You just give them a certain amount of money rather than having to pay them for the rest of their lives and provide them with medical care. And it's very, very crass, but this is the reality of where we are today. Well, on the front lines of that battle, fighting for our veterans, is a man named Arthur Burnclough, who I'm privileged to call a friend. Arthur, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me on again, Dr. Stan. It's always a pleasure to work with you.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us what's going on, so that we're going to get a new head of Veterans Affairs, I see.
Yes, General Shinseki has got a very, very good reputation. I know as a military man. However, the person I was trying to promote was Tammy Duckworth, who lost two legs when her helicopter was shot down in Iraq. And from what I hear, the reason she didn't get it is she's going to do what she thinks is right, regardless of what any politician says. And I think the politicians in Washington feel they can't control her, so they pretty much ruled her out.
Well, of course, this general apparently had been, when he was the commander over there, at least was in a command position in Iraq, he actually told Donald Rumsfeld we're going to need a couple of 100,000 more troops over there.
Oh, yes.
Of course, Rumsfeld didn't want to send a lot of troops over there. They didn't want to win the war. We weren't going there to win the war. We're going to drag it out as long as we could, and they dragged it out for five long, bloody, useless, senseless years. But then, of course, when it became... he was just drummed out of the military. But now they're calling him back. I just hope he has the courage to stand up against the powers that be this time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, I hope so. Anyone who stands up to Rumsfeld has got to be a good person, because Rumsfeld has ruined a lot of careers.
He sure has. And, of course, the people who wanted to do what was right and win the war and get out were, of course, demoted and forced out of the military.
Exactly.
And, of course, he put in the yes man who'd go along with him and say, yes, sir, we'll fight this battle, even knowing full well that we can't win it unless we have adequate personnel. So go ahead, pick this story up there.
It was basically a war for oil. It was a war for oil, a war for profit, and a war for power. And it's a war that just should never have been. And there's a quote that I read. It had no attribution, but it states the case very clearly. The soldier is not the cause of war. The soldier is the first victim of war. And all too often that victimization continues long after he or she is retired and suffers along with those wounds. The victimizers are usually the government.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. The victimizers are usually the government and the country that the soldiers served. And I do say semper fidelis, and a good Marine Thomas D. Siegel reminded me of this. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now, what we spoke about the last program, November 13th, was what's going on with the government destroying records, altering records, shredding records. And a writer at the New York Newsday newspaper put this article in, referring to the New York Regional Office. Its head of the VA office ousted. Now, the regional executive director and five other managers have been reassigned after claims are allegedly misdated to make it look like they processed it on time. And Martin C. Evans has the byline of this from the Newsday newspaper. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has reassigned the director of its New York regional office after finding that employees there were misdating hundreds of claims to make it appear that they were being processed on time. Now, without referring by name to the New York director, whose name is, by the way, Patricia Amberg Bleiskow, VA spokeswoman Allison A. Kelly, that's A-I-K-E-L-E, said last week that the director and five other top managers were ousted after investigators discovered a pattern of deception in the handling of claims at the regional headquarters at 245 West Houston Street in Manhattan. Now, let's go back a few years. They used to be located on 7th Avenue and 25th Street, and they vacated that building to move downtown to West Houston Street, 245 West Houston. And after they had vacated that building, the building was being renovated, they found the remnants of 600 disabled veteran claim files at the bottom of an elevator shaft. Now, this is how the New York VA office handles its business. Now, it was systematically enough of a problem that just happened that we removed the leadership. This is what Ms. A. Kelly said. The shakeup at the New York regional office, which serves 800,000 veterans living in eastern New York State, came as veterans organizations and members of Congress.
Hold that thought, Arthur. We'll be back here in just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan Arthur's talking about the New York Office of the Veterans Administration. And with so many of these offices, of course, they really do not care about the veterans. Arthur was just saying that when the Veterans Administration vacated an office there, somebody found over 600 or 700 veterans' claims at the bottom of an elevator shaft. Somebody just shoved them down there. That was a good way
Absolutely.
To get rid of them. And other times they shred them, they lose them, and it's part of a game that they play. They do not want to service them because it takes them takes time. They've got to should be involved. They don't want to work. They don't want to, you know, get the veterans what they're entitled to. And there's a constant pattern of delay until the veteran finally gets so discouraged. And what a terrible way to treat the brave men and women who fought for our country. Whether we agree with the wars or not is not important. This is no way to treat people who've been promised something by our country, because a country that will betray its servicemen will eventually betray its own citizens. Go right ahead, Arthur.
Well, this is the agenda of the Veterans Administration. And, well, the shakeup at the New York Regional Office, which serves 800,000 veterans living in New York, eastern New York State, came as veterans organizations and members of Congress have criticized the federal agency for mishandling or losing or destroying the benefit claims of veterans so they wouldn't have to pay a disability compensation. Now, the reports of date changing and document shredding at the New York Regional Office are unacceptable, and they're insulting to those who served our country. Now, this was said by a local congressman here, Representative Steve Israel, Democrat of Dix Hills, in a prepared statement. And, well, one congressional statement is the same as almost all congressional statements. Now, a summary of an investigation by the VA obtained by Newsday newspaper showed that of 20 claims examined by VA investigators at the New York office during a July visit, 16 had been marked with apparently phony dates to suggest their processing had begun within the required 7 days of their arrival. That's 80% that are falsely dated. Now, a wider audit in August showed that 56.4% of claims carried incorrect intake dates, according to the summary, which was dated November 10th. Now, according to the summary, several employees told VA investigators that their supervisor had instructed them to enter incorrect dates, and the practice was widely known amongst the VA across the country. VA investigators also found that the New York office has ignored significant amounts of its mail, officials said. An October 6th visit by investigators, for example, turned up 700 pieces of mail that had not been acted upon. Kelly also said that investigators recovered at least 5 documents related to claims that had been improperly placed in shredder bins. On Friday, Congressman Representative Peter King, Republican of Seaford, wrote to the Veterans Affairs Secretary, James Peake, asking to be apprised of the situation in the New York Regional Office. He hasn't been answered yet. Amber Bleisgell, the director of the Veterans Affairs Office in New York, did not reply to a reporter's request for an interview. In fact, she's nowhere to be found, but we think she's working in the same building. They shifted the job sites, and the summary called the director. The summary said that the director and the assistant director were initially placed on administrative leave, but now have been detailed to other work sites to complete assigned projects. 4 other senior managers were placed on administrative leave, according to the summary. Now, last week, 2 veterans organizations filed a lawsuit in federal district court in Washington, D.C., seeking to force the VA to handle benefits claims more quickly, saying veterans often wait a year before their applications are processed.
Wait a year before the applications are processed. That is just, you know, is this the way we, you know, that we want to treat our veterans? Does that speak very highly of the America's promise of these men? And of course it doesn't. They really don't care. They do not want to get it processed because then they have to start putting out money. And there is not enough money to fulfill all the things that they promised. And so they simply are going to delay and delay and delay. And the same thing is going to happen to Social Security and Medicare benefits down the line. There isn't any money there. They're going to steal it from the people, but they can't let them know. They can't let them know that is their design, but go right ahead, Art.
Oh, these bureaucrats are, they're absolutely ridiculous, these bureaucrats, what they're doing. And they say it takes as long as 4 years for appeals. Now, I'd like to correct that figure of 4 years for appeals. It takes as long as 7 to 8 years for appeals, not 4 years, 7 to 8 years. So the newspaper is a little off in their numbers here. Now, Shredder Scale Representative Bob Filner says he's the head of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and he's the one that's supposed to be leading an investigation on the VA for this. Now, he says, this completely shatters confidence in the whole VA system. These documents are a matter of life and death. And the St. Petersburg Times has a writer, William R. Levesque. He's a Times staff writer, and the House committee overseeing the Department of Veterans Affairs was supposed to start hearings last month to question VA leaders about documents improperly marked for shredding, as agency offices around the nation are going through the same exact thing as New York is going through. Now, Bob Filner, Democrat of California, he's the chairman, as I said before, of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, said that he was outraged by revelations that papers crucial to deciding veteran disability and pension claims were being destroyed by VA workers. He said, these guys remind me of the Keystone Cops. This completely shatters confidence in the whole VA system. These documents are matters of life and death for some of these veterans. And Representative C.W. Bill Young, Republican of Indian Shores, is not on the committee, but supports having hearings and suggested the problem might be widespread. Some VA employees could face legal problems, he said. Filner said he's going to hold the hearings. They were supposed to start November 17th, when a lame duck session of Congress was expected to convene to consider an economic stimulus package. Now, Filner said among those he's going to call to testify are VA Secretary James Peake and investigators for the agency's independent watchdog, the Inspector General. I don't have to tell you, Peake never came, never showed up, and a VA spokesman declined to comment on the hearings on Filner's statements, but the VA said it expects to cooperate with any House investigation.
But, of course, it's all words, Arthur. They
it's
can
a fraud.
Say all
the
these
whole thing
things,
is a fraud.
But it is simply to placate the people, to placate the veterans, to placate the even members of Congress who might be concerned or at least trying to find out what's going on. They say they're going to do something, but this has been going on for decades as far as depriving the veterans of what they're right. And, oh, we're going to get around to doing something very, very soon. Maybe next month, maybe next year, maybe next administration. But there's an organized effort to deprive the veterans of the benefits they're entitled to, and it must be terribly, terribly discouraging for you on the front lines of this battle.
Oh, it's awful. Well, here's what Filner is saying, and he's trying to pass it off as this. He says, I think there are some employees of the VA who don't want to do the work, and management allows this to happen. This is not just by chance. This is by design. They plain don't want to pay the benefits, and they will do anything to prevent paying the benefits, and it doesn't matter who they rob, cheat, and steal. This is the Veterans Administration, and at the Bay Pines in St. Petersburg, this is the busiest benefits office in the nation, in Florida. Investigators found 8 more misplaced documents. Now, Young says he spoke with investigators for the Inspector General in St. Petersburg, and what they told me is that it's bad, and I think some people are in legal trouble, but Young declined to release details or say if any employees in the St. Petersburg office deliberately threw away paperwork, veterans' paperwork.
You know, of course, there's a man named Joseph Stiglitz, and of course, Joseph Stiglitz is an economist, and he wrote a book on the $3 trillion war.
Oh, yes.
$3 trillion. Now, remember, we've only put out something like about $700 billion so far over there, but he feels with the veterans' benefits and taking care of these, so many crippled people, they used to die in war. Now they don't. They get them recovered. They're just disabled and living in pain and disability, and of course, he figured it's going to cost $3 trillion. He's talking another well over $2 trillion to take care of them. The Veterans Administration doesn't have the money. So what do you do? Would you admit that you've lied to the people? No, you don't do that. You just destroy their records. You delay. How many people are there out there? A couple of 100,000 waiting to get their cases heard, aren't there?
870,000.
870,000, okay.
That's right. That's what it's up to.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, here's a case that we're working on with this gentleman, Lewis Wesley Caton, and this is coming out of the Baltimore VA. And here's an announcement about the House Veterans Affairs Committee. It's a fraud. Mr. Filner, the chairman, turned the entire thing into a VA roundtable discussion. The investigation is no longer an investigation. And I was invited with 4 other veterans. We were availing ourselves to go down and testify at this so-called investigation. And then we found out it's a VA roundtable discussion consisting of the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, AMVETS, and this group of lawyers called NOVA, National Organization for Veterans Advocates. That's a group of lawyers that have got their hands in the VA's pocket.
They call it the proverbial cookie jar. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is Arthur Bernclough from Veterans for Constitutional Law. And, of course, we're not applying the law. Go right ahead, Arthur.
Well, we were going to meet at the Baltimore airport and go into Washington and avail ourselves to Mr.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Impoverished, they lose their homes, they get foreclosed on their homes, they lose their families. But the Veterans Administration is a very callous, indifferent organization, indifferent to the suffering of our veterans. And Chris, what they've done and what most people do not understand is they bought off the American Legion. Yeah. They bought off the veterans of foreign wars. They
exactly.
bought off so many of the veterans organizations, and they're not going to represent the veterans. That's why what Arthur does is so vitally important. And if you're a veteran out there and you need help, we'll tell you a little later how to get in touch with Arthur Burnclough and the Veterans for Constitutional Law, because there are very, very few organizations out there that are really interested in helping the veterans. All the rest of them are simply giving cover to the corruption that exists in Washington, D.C., and believe me, they're very well rewarded for their betrayal of our veterans. Go right ahead.
Well, I have a story here, it's a little short story. I think you're going to be very impressed with this, Dr. Stan. Chairman awarded the Air Force Cross 64 years after the mission, World War II. He died. This came out of Miami, Florida. Former Army Air Force Second Lieutenant Charles L. Brown, a B-17 Flying Fortress pilot, who was awarded the Air Force Cross 64 years after his historic mission over Germany, died November 24th in Miami at the age of 86. Burial with full military honors took place in Kendall, Florida. For extraordinary heroism during a bombing mission over Bremen, Germany on December 20th, 1943, he was awarded the Air Force Cross, the Air Force's award. It's the Air Force's highest award for valor, second only to the Medal of Honor. During the mission, his four-engine bomber was badly damaged by German fighters and flak. He and six of his crew were wounded. After dropping his bombs over the target, they were intercepted by yet another enemy fighter. Recognizing in their helpless state, the German pilot signaled Brown to land and be taken prisoner. Brown refused two such demands because his crew needed critical medical care. The chivalrous German pilot, recognizing the courage of his fellow airmen, escorted the crippled bomber to the coast, pointed a compass heading to England, and saluted his adversary. The two pilots were reunited 45 years later and became as close as brothers. The German pilot, Luftwaffe ace Franz Stigler, passed away on March 22nd, 2008. Now, this is what you call honor. Honor, integrity. Not like what goes on with the VA today.
No, I'm afraid not. War brings out the best and the worst in people. And of course, certainly we will not get the background of the Second World War, but there are a lot of brave men who went over there who believed that they were fighting for their country. And of course, they acted with true heroism. The problem is, of course, that we have politicians who create the wars, and then they send brave men far braver than they are there to fight. I mean, George W. Bush, our president, did everything he could to avoid serving in Vietnam. In fact, they rigged that whole difficulty as far as the fellow on CBS, Dan Rather, you know, he was set up on that. But there was plenty of evidence that George Bush and his family had rigged this situation so we could stay in the National Guard, which he did not participate in, but that we didn't have to go. And that same man, of course, would send our boys over to, who would not go to Vietnam to fight for his country, would send our boys over to Afghanistan and to Iraq to fight in no-win wars. And how many of them have died needlessly over there in a war where we were actually, of course, in Afghanistan, where we're financing the Pakistani government that's financing the Taliban.
Oh,
you
bet.
Killing our boys, and of course, as far as Iraq is concerned, why we're, of course, financing Pakistan and Saudi Arabia that are financing Al-Qaeda that was working over there. But nobody ever wanted to talk about that. Who was putting up the money for the resistance? I mean, it takes a lot of money to run an effective resistance and to train people and then to fund them, to pay them as they did in Iraq, and of course it was our good friends in Saudi Arabia. Why didn't we do anything about it? Why? Because George Bush is very good friends with the people who run Saudi Arabia, and so we sent our boys over to fight and bleed and suffer and die. Why? Well, of course, our leaders are friends with the people who are financing our enemies that were killing our boys. We'll be back in just a moment with Arthur Burnclough. And of course, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Arthur, you go right ahead.
Well, that whole thing with the war, it's a veritable sewer, Dr. Stan. It's a veritable sewer. I just got an email from Don Holland, who is the number one naval recruiter in the Vietnam era. And Don Holland, down in Florida, he's in Orlando, just sent me this, and it says, according to a Marine pilot, in addition to communicating with the local air traffic control facility, all aircraft in the Persian Gulf AOR are required to give the Iranian air defense radar, their military, a 10-minute heads-up if they will be transiting Iranian airspace. Now, this is a common practice for commercial aircraft and involves giving them your call sign, transponder code, type aircraft, and points of origin and destination. He says here, I just flew with a guy who overheard this conversation on the VHF God emergency frequency 121.5 megahertz while flying from Europe to Dubai. It's too good a story not to pass along. The conversation went something like this. Air defense radar says, unknown aircraft at location unknown. You are in Iranian airspace. Identify yourself. The Marine pilot said, this is a United States aircraft. I am in Iraqi airspace. Air defense radar Iran says, you are in Iranian airspace. If you do not depart our airspace, we will launch interceptor aircraft. Marine aircraft says, this is a United States Marine Corps F-A-18 fighter. Send them up. I'll wait. From the Iranian air defense radar, there is no response, just total silence. And all I can say is semper fi.
Well, of course, the thing is that, fortunately, that F-18 is a tremendous fighter plane. I'm sure that the Iranians would not stand a chance against a tremendous killing power in this, of course.
Nope,
with our
they don't want to tangle with it.
They don't want to, and certainly the Iranians would like to be a power, but unless you have the technology, you can't develop the technology that we have here in the United States. We have the greatest military ever accumulated, but I just wish it was being used for a good purpose rather than, of course, to create this empire, of course, ultimately being utilized to bring about a new world order, a new world financial system, a new world currency, and a new world religion. Because the people, of course, who really are running things behind the scenes have a different agenda, but they can't tell the American people that we're really creating an American empire. That's why we have troops in 130 nations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Arthur Bernclau. Arthur, let's go ahead and get out your address, your telephone number. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Arthur, let's get your web page out there. And how can people get in touch with you if they have a problem and they need help and they're bogged down in this Veterans Administration quagmire that is intentionally depriving our veterans of their constitutional and legal rights? Go ahead.
Well, this is why we're here, and I will say we're their biggest adversary right now. And if you have a problem, we'd like to know about it. Maybe we can help you. Now, I'm Arthur Bernclau, Executive Director of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and the best number to reach me at, by if you're going to call by phone, is 631-474-4261. That's 631-474-4261. If you're going to write us, we are Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, and our location is number 112, that's 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York. 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, and our zip code is 11777. 11777.
All right, one more time. Let's get that telephone number out.
The best number to reach me is 631-474-4261.
Okay, very good. And if you have a question, comment, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and you pick up the story there.
Okay, now most veterans are not aware of a law that was passed last year allowing a veteran to retain his own attorney, and once he gets a turn down in writing from the VA, to take them into federal court and appeal the case in federal court. Now, for 75 years, a veteran was not allowed to have an attorney. They kept attorneys out of any veterans' cases. But now the law has changed, but most veterans are still not aware of that, and they keep going back to the VA to have a case adjudicated. I hate that word, adjudicated. It's they're trying to give themselves the aura of being a court. It's not a court. What it is it's a renegade, devious agency. It's a renegade, devious agency, very, very similar to the old Indian agency that used to rob and cheat the American Indians. This is the new Indian agency. It's the Veterans Administration. And here's a great story from Matthew Ford down in Pennsylvania. He's with Uniformed Services. And it's called The Old Man. As I came out of the supermarket that sunny day, pushing my car to groceries toward my car, I saw an old man with the hood of his car up and a lady sitting inside the car with the door open. The old man was looking at the engine. I put my groceries away in my car, continued to watch the old gentleman from about 25 feet away. I saw a young man in his early 20s with a grocery bag in his arms walking toward the old man. The old gentleman saw him coming to and took a few steps toward him. I saw the old gentleman point to his open hood and say something. The young man put his grocery bag into what looked like a brand new Cadillac Escalade and then turned back to the old man. I heard him yell at the old gentleman saying, "You shouldn't even be allowed to drive a car at your age." And then with a wave of his hand, got in his car and peeled rubber out of the parking lot. I saw the old gentleman pull out his handkerchief and mop his brow as he went back to his car and again looked at the engine. He then went to his wife and spoke with her and appeared to tell her it would be okay. I'd seen enough, and I approached the old man when he saw me coming and stood straight as I got near him. I said, "It looks like you're having a problem." He smiled sheepishly and quietly nodded his head. I looked under the hood myself and knew whatever the problem was, it was beyond me. Looking around, I saw a gas station up the road, and I told the old man that I would be right back. I drove to the station and went inside, saw three attendants working on cars. I approached one of them and related the problem the old man had with his car and offered to pay them if they'd follow me back down and help him. The old man had pushed a heavy car under the shade of a tree and appeared to be comforting his wife. When he saw us, he straightened up and thanked me for my help. As the mechanics diagnosed the problem, overheated engine, I spoke with the old gentleman. When I shook hands with him earlier, he noticed my Marine Corps ring and had commented about it, telling me that he had been a Marine, too. I nodded and asked the usual question, "What outfit did you serve with?" He had mentioned that he served with the 1st Marine Division at Tarawa, Saipan, Iwo Jima, and Guadalcanal. Wow. Boy, that's some battle experience. He had hit all the big ones and retired from the Corps after the war was over. As we talked, I heard the car engine come on and saw the mechanics lower the hood. They came over to us as the old man reached for his wallet, but was stopped by me, and I told him, "Just put the bill on my AAA card." He still reached for his wallet and handed me a card that I assumed had his name and address on it, and I stuck it in my pocket, and we all shook hands all around again, and I said my goodbyes to his wife. Then I told the two mechanics I'd follow him back up to the station. Once at the station, I told them they had interrupted their own jobs to come along with me and help the old man, and I said I wanted to pay for the help, but they refused to charge me. One of them pulled the card out from his pocket, looking exactly like the card the old man had given me, and both of the men told me that they were Marine Corps reserves. Once again, we shook hands all around, and as I was leaving, one of them told me I should look at the card the old man had given to me, and I said I would, and I drove off. Now, for some reason, I'd gone about two blocks when I pulled over, took the card out of my pocket, and looked at it for a long, long time. The name of the old gentleman was on the card in golden leaf, and under his name, Congressional Medal of Honor Society. I sat there motionless, looking at the card and reading it over and over. I looked up from the card and smiled to no one but myself and marveled that on this day, four Marines had all come together because one of us needed help. He was an old man, all right, but it felt good to have stood next to greatness and courage, and an honor to have been in his presence. And remember, old men like him gave you freedom for America. And freedom isn't free. Thousands have paid the price so you can enjoy what you have today. And the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Well, that's a beautiful story, Arthur, and I hope it would touch the hearts of our people out there and to realize that our veterans are actively and in an organized manner being mistreated by the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., who carry nothing for them. But believe me, a nation that will betray its fighting men will eventually betray its citizens, and that betrayal is in the process right today. And if American people don't organize and get involved in this battle, we're going to lose this country, and we don't deserve to keep it. We're going to lose this country because all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good people do nothing, and the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to foreign affairs and domestic affairs is they are ruled by evil men, and I would like to suggest that's exactly what is going on today. We have evil men in Washington, D.C. who have a different agenda, who care nothing for America. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Arthur.
Okay, I've got this story here from Dave Betty, B-E-T-T-I. He's the president of Vietnam Veterans of Ventura County, Incorporated. They're out there by you in California. Well, I think Southern California. I wanted to share with everyone of the funeral I attended yesterday for a Marine Vietnam veteran that has finally come home. You think folks would now stop asking, do you really think there are still POW MIAs? Damn right. What I saw yesterday was very obvious to me, and even the news media could not believe this has ever happened. You have to have been there. I had the honor of meeting with Colonel Bill Negron and sitting with him. He remembers, and he has remembered for 40 years. Now, what does that tell you? Our war is not finished until they all come home. Now, this may be closure for the family. And my Marine buddy, Richard Camacho, who was in the 1-4 Marines in Nam with Luis Palacio and his best friend. But it sure doesn't mean we have to close the books. Simplify, enjoy the read, and it's very heart-touching. It's the final salute for Lance Corporal Palacios. Vietnam, Lakewood Family Buries Marine, whose remains were recently recovered. And this was done by story with byline Pamela Hale Burns, staff writer, Long Beach Press Telegram. A lone Marine played taps and the military gun saluted while family and friends surrounded the flag-draped coffin of Lance Corporal Luis Palacios on Friday. Today, we buried my brother, an American hero and Marine. A Marine forever, Semper Fi, said his brother Robert Martinez. The 19-year-old Marine was killed June 6, 1968, when his CH-46A Sea Knight helicopter was hit by enemy fire and crashed into the mountains southwest of Khe San, Quang Tri Province, South Vietnam. Closure came for the family 40 years after Palacio's death when his remains were finally identified and returned to his family in Lakewood. Palacios was buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Cypress. In 2007, a team completed excavation of the crash site and recovered additional human remains and wreckage. They brought out large amounts of debris and found parts of shoes, dog tags, and skeletal remains, said Martinez. They found the arm bone that was my brother's and a tooth, said Martinez. My brother had had some work done on a molar, and they found that it belonged to him. DNA from Yolanda Montiel, Palacio's sister, matched the remains and confirmed his identity. We lost men from day one, said his commander, retired Lieutenant Colonel Bill Negron, who was at the memorial service. They were shooting at us, and we couldn't shoot back because it was sacred territory there in Vietnam. The crew, which lost 12 of 23 members, was trying to rescue Marines from the 1st Battalion, 4th Regiment, 3rd Marine Division. It was pretty hectic. We fought for 3 days, and I lost 42 Marines in a 3-day battle, Negron said. We stayed for 2 more days, and they asked us if we needed reinforcement, food, or water. I said, no, all we need is bullets. 24-year-old Martinez was already serving in the Marines when his younger half-brother Palacios joined. I was gone all the time, so I hardly got to see him, he said. Today, 69-year-old Martinez can still recall the day word came of his brother's death. When he was reported missing on June 15th, they came to the house and told my mom and stepfather he was missing, Martinez said, and that the helicopter was hit and fell down a hill and was still being hit by fire and burst into flames. Although it's been four decades, the battlefields of Vietnam seem fresh. That hill is still there. The jungle was thick, Negron said. It's a beautiful valley, though. If I were to spend 40 years away from my family, it would be a good place to be, but it's better to be home. All but four of Negron's men who died were recovered and identified. Enemy fire made it impossible to recover the body of Palacios and three others. I didn't want to show my Marines that I was hurt, so I got behind a rock, Negron said, and I came out and said, let's regroup. The war isn't over. Martinez wanted to return to Vietnam after his brother was killed. I didn't know what to do. I was still in the military, and they tried to just ease the situation, asking me if I was okay. Months later, it hit me like a ton of bricks about what was going on. There's nothing you can do. You feel helpless, and there's no one to blame. It was war. Martinez and his three brothers and six cousins joined the military. Palacios was the only one killed. When my brother was first reported missing, I felt the need to go back over there and do something more, he said. Once I was there, I felt relieved that I was doing something toward what caused my brother's death. True to the Marine motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful, fellow Marines came to see their comrade laid to rest. Retired Los Angeles Sheriff's Deputy and Vietnam veteran Jim Kaler was a member of the battalion that relieved Palacios' unit. The same day Louis was killed, we were ambushed, he said. Palacios' helicopter was coming in to rescue my unit when they were diverted to save another group that was in more immediate danger, said Kaler. That's when we were shot down. Corpsman Mac Meacham was in Palacios' unit but was wounded the day before Palacios was killed. I was the lucky one. I caught a round of shrapnel in my shoulder and my hand and lost my thumb, so I was medevaced. That's medically evacuated. Out the first day, Meacham said. Tears flowed as if only days had elapsed since the Marine's death. This day means everything. Bringing someone home, Meacham said. He served. He's a hero. And we are able to stand here today because of what those who served did. It brings back memories of when it first happened, Martinez said. Palacios was buried in a plot purchased when the family was notified of his death. A memorial plaque had been placed on the graveside awaiting his remains. Most of the family who used to go to the plot on the memorial of his death stopped going, saying, there's nobody there. I'm not coming back till they find something, Robert Martinez said. Unfortunately, one brother, Mario Martinez, and Palacios' parents would not live to return to the gravesite. And this service means everything. He belongs home with his family. They deserve closure, Negron said with tears in his eyes. I loved all my Marines. I loved Louis. God bless you. God bless Louis. And God bless the United States Marine Corps.
Well, they were brave men. There was, you know, I spent a weekend about 2 weeks ago with a retired, currently was a chaplain. And he told me that he had spent some time with General Westmoreland, who was command over there shortly before he died. And General Westmoreland, had, you know, shared with him his grief that he was never allowed to win the war. And until people understand that we sent our boys up there to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but we were never allowed to win the war. And if you've read my little pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance, you'll find that we were financing the North Vietnamese indirectly all during that war.
That is
what's so terrible about it. And brave men fight and die, and cowards stay back and become the President of the United States. And that was so it's unconscionable. And until people understand that we did abandon our boys, probably between 500 and 1,000 in Vietnam and another 1,000 in Laos, and of course the man who covered up for that is a man who ran for the presidency. His name was John McCain. You can go up on the internet and check it out. The veterans who served with him considered him a traitor. He made propaganda broadcasts and propaganda films for the North Vietnamese. How could that have happened in America and nobody ever heard about it? Go up on the internet and just it'll get the veterans' attitude, the veterans who served over there who were prisoners with him. He betrayed his country. And what was his reward? Well, first of all, he had to betray the veterans left behind. He covered that up in the 1991 Senate investigation. And then they made him the candidate for the presidency of the United States. So, you know, the problem really is, of course, that most people don't understand that many times the cowards do very, very well. But, of course, the brave men die. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Arthur Byrne Cloud. Well, Arthur,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
More time, get your telephone number out.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Best number to reach me at, 631-474-4261. If you have a problem with the VA, we'll help you fight it.
God bless. Good night.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. And first, that was, of course, Arthur Byrne Cloud, Veterans for Constitutional Law. Veterans for Constitutional Law, he does a great job. And then, of course, if you want to get in the background of Vietnam, you need to get our videos, actually they're 4 tape sets. One is called Vietnam, one is called The Men We Left Behind Going to the POWs. The other is One Man Returned, because one man did return. His name was Bobby Garwood, and of course they had to destroy him. They had to try to put him in prison. Why? Because he told about all the other veterans that were over there. And the last thing they wanted the American people to know is that we abandoned hundreds, if not thousands, of American servicemen. So those three four-tape sets, The Men We Left Behind, The one man came back and in Vietnam, and then you can get that as by itself or part of the Vietnam special. We have a little pamphlet called the Communist Capitalist Alliance that goes into the background of how we indirectly financed the North Vietnamese government all during the Vietnam War and how we financed communism since its inception. Where do you think all the money is coming from to build up communist China today? What do you think that Bank of America did with $5 billion of the $15 billion that Henry Paulson just recently gave to the Bank of America? Why they took $5 billion to actually help a Chinese communist bank? Why would they do that? That's our money. Well, of course, we lent it to them. They're going to pay 5% interest on it. The money was given supposedly to get our markets, our financial markets working. And what do? They invest in the Chinese Communist Bank. How do you think that's going to help America's economy? And the truth of the matter, it's not, because they're not trying to help America's economy. They're trying to destroy America's economy. And when you understand that, you can understand why Citigroup spent $10 billion on toll roads in Spain. That's going to be great for Spain, but it's not going to help the United States. And I very much fear that they are intentionally going to destroy our economy, to destroy the value of our currency, because there's no better way to destroy a great nation than to debauch its currency. And that's what they're going to do, producing runaway inflation. And the change we're going to get with the new administration is going to be a change not for the better, but for the worse. Remember our telephone number? It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you out there will get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or if you can't afford it, it's inexpensive, but if you can't afford it, why, it's available on the Internet. You're just going to RadioLiberty.com and scroll down under the DVDs and videos to Brotherhood of Darkness. You can watch it there. You can watch on Google, on YouTube, my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. There's a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years to the secret societies and the mystery religions. Incidentally, I'm doing an interview tomorrow afternoon with a member of Aleister Crowley's group, the Ordo Temporalis, and Orientalis, Ordo Temporalis Orientalis, Ordo Temporalis.